Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Thanks for joining. Episode 420. I was gonna spark up a dube to like as a shout out to all those dumb stoners that listen to us and celebrating their, because you know 420, they like that number for some reason. But my girlfriend's son is being babysat by like a high school girl downstairs in the Baller Lifestyle World headquarters, and that'd be kind of weird, to have me disappear to a upstairs locale and then just have dankness wafting down the steps. Didn't seem like it's the right idea. So shout out to our 420. I acknowledge it, but Barbara's not doing a stoned show today. If you're not already, you should join our Red Circle. Subscribe to the bonus content so you can hear us talk later about Prince Charles's travel itinerary. No, his travel requirements. He brings like his own artwork to hotels or wherever he stays when he travels. Also, I'm gonna sneeze again. He also brings his own toilet seat with him because he doesn't, like some non an unroyal ass may have touched the seat before him, and he's better than that. Why doesn't he just have his like butler polish it for him or do whatever they, buttle? Anyway, we're going to talk about that later, and you can only hear the bonus stuff. Also, we learned that some scientists observed dolphins gang raping an anaconda. Okay, go on another show and see them talk about that. That's part of the bonus content that we'll be doing this week. Subscribe via the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com, click the link at the top of the page. It's $5 a month, $50 a year. You're a hero if you do that. We appreciate it. Also, you can reach out, send us an email, voicemail, 949-464-TBLS is the phone number. Also, you can send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Let's get some new blood in the Baller Lifestyle world, because it's always nice to talk to new people. I am joined now, as I am each and every week, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Hey, I was watching a 30 for 30, and I watched like, 25 minutes and ran out of gas, but it was about Greg Norman. And
get that big ass dick. Is that featured? Greg Norman is a huge dick.
That's probably why I lost interest. But
yeah.
And it was all about, I guess, one of the Masters. He lost the Masters to Jack Nicholas when he was like 46 or something. He lost that one, but then he like choked really bad on one of them.
That's right.
And there was so much buildup.
1996.
And I just bailed. Like I didn't.
Yeah.
I just didn't care enough. I got a vibe from him, and he seemed pretty stand up that he's sitting there talking about like some great choke. But I don't know. But my question was, I had this thought maybe a couple years ago when I saw the Masters was on. If you're talking about like tennis and Wimbledon is this and the French Open is that service.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's always about your opponent. Like, what is it about the Masters that people are so into, considering there are lots of beautiful golf courses?
Yeah.
And like there are iconic holes that I know. Why do people care that much about the Masters when it's ultimately about your competition?
I don't know. It's because of the history, I think, and the I mean, I'm not, I don't know. They like the course. It's really beautiful. I saw this thing on the Masters where how like the tricks they do to get it looking all nice. Like
they paint,
right? They paint the grass. Yeah.
And they're fake and birds chirping.
Fake birds chirping, and they color the water.
Right.
Like to make it brighter blue and stuff. So I don't know. It's pretty weird. It's in the South. It's a bunch of rich white racists that own it. I don't know. I don't know why people love it so much. I mean, it's fun to watch.
But there's incredible buzz about the Masters versus any other course. Whereas, I don't know. It's like if the course never changes, you would think the scores would be pretty consistent year to year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they vary.
I was curious why there's such a big deal about one course versus another. I don't know.
I think they lengthened it. They reworked it for the Tiger effect. I'm honestly not very well versed on it. We should have one of our golf correspondents call in, like Drew in Houston or Darb in the OC. Those guys can tell us. They know all about this shit.
And speaking of Greg Norman, I saw he was quoted as saying like 30% of the tour was going to do that offshoot tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Until Phil's comments, and they once again showed Phil Nichols his comments. And it was like, what did he really say? I get people are, you know, he's a dick behind the scenes or whatever. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But what he said was not controversial. Yeah. It was just weird.
I know. It's everybody's because, you know, this Saudis throw
Afraid
around a lot of money.
Khashoggi. calling it Khashoggi a killer. I mean, a victim of MBS's murder.
Yeah, they dismembered him. That was a government-sanctioned murder of a journalist. What's
Walked
the big deal?
Walked him out in suitcases.
Yeah, what's the big deal? They sent like a kill team, and there was even like
a saw, right?
Yeah, there was a guy with a saw, and there was like a coroner or someone, so like some kind of doctor that knew, you know, was like an expert on dismembering, so they could take him apart properly. How about that?
Wow.
There's a society. That's a government you want to be involved with. Mickelson's back, though. He had to take a pause.
They let him in.
Yeah, he took a time out, and he's coming back for the PGA, which I believe he's the defending champion.
That's right. That's when he became the oldest major champion.
Exactly.
I saw the Nick Cage movie where it's like about Nick Cage, but
yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, it looks goofy. Good. I want to see it.
And I was thinking, a guy like Johnny Depp, that's probably his dream, is somebody writes something like that for him. Because Nick Cage has done some weird stuff, but like mainstream success has not been for him in a long time. Like, you need somebody to kind of create something for you at this point.
Yeah, and you got to let the world know that you're in on the joke. You know, that right. You know you're eccentric and you know what people say about you. Johnny Depp should do an arc on the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right. That's a good
he was on move. Something else as himself. Was it Veep?
Johnny Depp?
No, he did something where he did like a tongue-in-cheek version of himself. He's in a hotel being interviewed in a hotel room. Where am I remembering that from? Somebody remind me.
I mean, I see Sean Penn do a little bit of having fun with his own image, but for the most part, but Sean Penn is still can do projects that he wants to do and stuff like that. Like Cage, this was a dream for him. And you'll never guess who also is in it. The dude who's in every movie now, Pedro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pedro Pascal. He's in everything. Yeah.
He's great, but he's also great. In everything. It's crazy.
He's in everything.
He's having a moment.
He's in Game of Thrones. He got the
he was the Mandalorian.
Right. You didn't watch you quit watching Game of Thrones before this happened, but he had his head caved in by the
there was like
by the mountain.
A duel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I might have seen that scene for some reason.
He was winning the duel until he was losing the duel. And then he got his head smashed
in a bad way.
Yeah, it was pretty. Oh, that's what it was. Life's Too Short. The Ricky Gervais show about that, where the little person.
Oh, yeah. Warwick Davis.
Yeah, Warwick Davis, who's the guy from Willow.
I implore anyone to look at the Liam Neeson scene from that show.
It's great. It's a funny show. And Depp did an episode where he played himself and he's a maniac in a hotel room. It's great. I knew I'd seen that. I have a bad memory.
I don't even, I saw that show and I don't remember that.
Somebody, so my girlfriend was at a party this weekend. I didn't, it was a kid weekend for me, so I didn't go with her. And she was telling me that she was talking to some guy there and he was telling her that he had named his dick, which I think is kind of, you know, weird. Kind of,
that, like, but it's one thing when your dick gets named by others.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's he doing?
Little Brian. But well, I was thinking that because like the great white shark.
Wow. So, yeah.
You know, do you think he calls it like the great pink shark or something, or the guppy? I don't know. It's pretty big.
Does he call it like some sort of shark related name?
Right. The hammerhead.
The dorsal fin.
Yeah. The whale shark. I had another thing. I had another question. I was watching a little NBA finals playoffs. Oh, the NHL playoffs started last night too. I had to watch the Kings and the
Rangers.
The Oil. Shit gets real. And it is kind of nice. The Oil up in Alberta, you know, they have the best ice in the NHL.
What does that
mean? They have like and a lot of teams do this. The Kings have Pia Toscano. What's up? She sings the anthem, and the Oil have some dude sing the anthem, and he's just like in the stands. He just like stands up with a mic.
Oh, in the crowd?
In the crowd. And then they put a spotlight on him, and it's a bunch of fucking Canadians. Everybody's wearing a jersey there. They are into it. And he sings the anthems. And what's kind of cool is he like rushes through the shitty U.S. national anthem. Like he sings it. He does it justice, but it's like he doesn't really style it. And then everybody, you know, kind of claps. And then he busts out O Canada, and everybody gets way into it. It's pretty exciting. But I was watching the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Versus Philadelphia.
Yeah.
76ers. And the Heat have that guy, Tyler Hero.
Yes.
But it's which spelled
it's
H-E-R-O.
Not Hero. This was because he's good at sports, they had to change it.
Yeah, this is a Theismann-Theismann situation.
Yep.
This is Hero. Hero.
Yeah. Hero or Hero. There's no way it was Hero.
Hero. I mean, come on, buddy. It doesn't even look like Hero. It's got two R's in it. Hero. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Did he change that when he got to the league? No.
At Kentucky, I remember them talking about it.
Hero.
I think he was only at Kentucky for a year, maybe two. But I remember them calling him Hero at Kentucky.
Hero. The fuck out of here with that.
But that would be an insufferable Heat move.
Totally. Yeah, they're already like, called the Heat.
Horrible. Horrible.
Awful. Heat. Hero. Unbelievable. Okay, let's talk some, let's do some sports discussion here.
They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Two things come to mind, Ed. You texted me this week to remind me that you had salvaged the
yes.
Where are we going? We're doing butt stuff. Now, what's it say?
Get in. We're doing butt stuff.
It's a picture
of a UFO.
Yeah, yeah. Get in. We're doing butt stuff. You reminded me that you were able to salvage that from the Goodwill pile.
Yeah, we have and, we had the bag ready to go, and yeah. I was like, you know what? Maybe it hasn't quite made it there. Yeah. So yep. we've got to do that for a contest.
Yeah, well, we'll award it to whoever records us a song. Sports segment. Yep. You throw together something. Look, I'm not trying to encourage. We already have like a lot of like one style of song that's been submitted anonymously. So I imagine if he's hashtag Team Current, he could bust that out right now. And
it could be done by the time this conversation's over.
Yeah, he's getting a shirt. Something tells me now, Ed, what size is that shirt? I imagine it's like a large or an extra large.
I would guess, but. Also, yeah. I have to admit, I've never worn it. It just came in the mail one day.
Yeah, you know, because I...
Yeah, this is a never worn shirt, I promise you.
Something tells me that the that whoever records the RIP song is at least a double X.
The pipes indicate as much.
Yeah, and whoever he is, he just kind of... Well, if you go to one of my favorite artists and a guy that also happened to try to assassinate the president one time, John Hinckley Jr. He's dropped the Jr. by the way. It's just John Hinckley. There used to be a band.
Dad's out of the picture now. Is that it?
Yeah, there used to be.
He only wanted to honor his dad.
Yes.
When he was also trying to impress Jodie Foster.
He must have felt very honored. But maybe it's like there used to be a band called Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. And I think Little E must have like hit him with the cease and desist a la Mookie Blaylock. So that they ended up dropping the Dale Earnhardt and now they're just called Jr. Jr. Maybe John Hinckley's like trying to distance himself from the presidential assassin John Hinckley Jr. and just go John Hinckley.
What if
that
singer is John Hinckley? He's testing out his material.
That's what I'm saying. When I hear R.I.P. the R.I.P. song, and of course the great, see if I have it on the board. We don't give enough credit because this contributor doesn't appear often enough, but he also, you know, he does the rip, but he also recorded the Penis Connoisseur song.
TPC, that's a penis connoisseur to you and me. TPC, it's Brian's one to the right. She really wants to see. TPC, everyone knows it's Drew, who's ranked number three. TPC. Yeah.
It's possible. TPC.
It's pretty good.
That's the Venus connoisseur.
That he's busy.
He's busy.
Because when you're like a talented songwriter, yep. a lot of those types go to Nashville and try to sell.
They write songs for other people.
Yeah, so he might be in Nashville at this point.
Yeah.
Like that's how Willie got his start. I mean,
yep.
Megan Trainor. There are all kinds of people. Like from you know, traditional country stars to like random pop singers that, you know, like I said, like Megan Trainor. I remember hearing her on Stern saying she went down to Nashville because like songwriters, that's the place to go.
Music City, buddy. That's where they do it.
Yep.
So every time I hear the RIP and of course the TPC song guy, every time I hear him performing one of his,
it's Junior.
Yeah, I'm picturing John Hinckley, recording artist John Hinckley doing it because I don't know. That's who I see. And you know, the RIP song guy is such a mystery. So if he busts out a sports song, I'm just saying the first song we get. And now people were complaining about the, winning. Yeah.
First song we get. Yes. And we'll also, if you feel like you want to do the song, but you don't want your name to be attached to it.
Yes. Yeah.
We can keep a secret. I remember 5-6 years ago, someone who has since turned against our show gave us a whole long email about how his wife doesn't love him anymore and stuff like that. We knew who it was and we didn't say anything.
Wait. I don't remember this at all.
Oh, it was pretty funny.
What?
It was somebody talking about their crumbling marriage, but please don't use my name because of this. This was when we had a different member of the show. This was,
yes?
I remember a full conversation about this, and it was like, okay, we'll respect the guy's privacy.
We were given advice.
Yeah.
He was asking our advice.
Yeah.
Did we give him good advice?
I mean,
cut bait, dude.
You only live once. It must have been good advice. So good that he turned on us.
Oh, he turned on us when he heard some rumors about one of the hosts?
No, I think this was he turned because he tried to get a little involved with my personal life and I straightened him the fuck out.
I'm recalling what you're you guys can't can't involve civilians.
Right.
You can make fun of us, but you can't bring civilians into the into the world.
You brought a civilian into the fray.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's a faux pas. It's a faux
pas. But anyway,
I recall.
You don't know this person's name because we respected it. So if you submit a song to say, I just want it to be anonymous for over the air, we'll do it. And I'll still send you the t-shirt.
Look, that one guy that the one guy that told us that we were we wouldn't tell both sides of the George Floyd situation on this show.
Yeah.
He could write a song and we'll send him a shirt.
Sure.
If he's got, you know, musical ability.
Right.
No big deal.
George Floyd both sides or we'll get one.
Yes. Yes. He could. I mean, that's a way to take off. Also last week I said, my girlfriend Cheyenne, her nanny for Christmas gave her a bottle of bum wine. And it's, I said, first person to leave a review. See, I would like to get some reviews on our Apple podcasts because it pushes down the reviews that mention names that aren't mine and yours. So it's kind of nice. It would be nice to get some reviews to just kind of push those down a little bit. We still carry a 4.8 rating, which is that's a good Uber rating. Like we mostly have 5-star reviews.
I told you, I don't ride Uber enough. And there was one time that it was all my buddies and we got, I must have gotten stung with one because like my rating is like 4.76 and I am nothing but a polite guest.
Hold on. Similarly, I don't take many oobs. Sometimes when I'm lazy or I've had a couple bourbons, I get an Uber for my children and I'll Uber them back to the house rather than go pick them up.
You think they might have stung your...
No. I know what happened. It was in Austin, Texas. I was with my buddy Chaz and my buddy Spence. Spence, who's been mentioned on the show before for being caught masturbating in his living room in a beanbag when he turned the blinds the wrong way. We get an Uber one time and he's doing that thing where he's real impatient where he's like, what the fuck? Cause it was after a Longhorns game. We went and watched my horns and then we're trying to hop a cab to get back downtown to go to some more bars. And so I'm like, I called us an Uber and there was like, you know, there's like a designated spot and there was like 50 people there waiting for cars. And he's like, what the fuck? This is taking forever. He's getting all pissed. And I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. I'm like, why don't you get a car then? And so then he's all drunk. So he starts trying to get an Uber. I'm like yours is just going to be in the queue behind mine, idiot. So anyway, no, he's a great guy. He's one of my best friends. We get in the Uber. Chaz and Spence get in the back seat. I get in the front. And there's a nice, Arab gentleman, Middle Eastern dude driving us. Very nice guy. And all of a sudden, my buddy Spence in the back seat is like, hey, Muhammad.
Oh, boy.
No, I like that. That was his actual name. Like he just called him whatever his name was. Whatever his name was. There's no racial component.
Okay.
I'm just drawing a picture. He's a nice guy. Spence is like, hey, man, what kind of panties you like? Like when you're with a lady, like what you like the white lacy ones. And I'm like, Spence, shut the fuck up. And he's like, what about red,
red ones are kind of nice too. And he's like trying to share his panty fetish with my Uber driver. And I think was purposely trying to destroy my rating, because ever since then, or around next time I checked my rating, I was down in the below five. I'm trying to check my rating now, and the app won't open.
I'm 473.
That's pathetic.
And like, I'm very polite, always a good tipper.
Pathetic.
And because sad. I don't ride enough, I rode once to the airport, once from the airport.
Yeah.
And that's like it. Like I don't. Yeah. In the past year, I've probably used Uber 3-4 times.
Yeah. Same. Like what'd they do? And
it was just drunken assholes. I was riding in the front seat and they were in the back seat just being assholes.
Aren't they supposed to rate you like pre-tip? Like they can't see.
But it would never be based on my tipping. My tipping is always impeccable.
But sometimes you forget and it's not till the next time you open the app
that's true.
You leave the tip.
That's happened.
So a lot of times it'll be like, I'm trying to open the app right now. And it's just like the placard that says Uber, because I would like to know my rating. I think it's like, oh, here we go. Closed it, reopened. Okay, here.
See if I know anybody. The little profile.
Oh, the little head.
Yeah.
4.85.
I just can't. I don't know how to bring it up. Like I just don't ride that much. But
now you're fucked. You know what you got to do. You just got to do like an Uber road trip. You know how like gets to the end of the year and people don't want to lose their Delta Sky Club access.
Yeah.
So they go, oh, fuck. What are you doing? I'm going to fly to Boston and then down to Fort Lauderdale and then home so I can get, because I need like 4,000 more miles to get my
you know what United I might do?
Club.
I might just kill off that Ed Daily and start a new life as a new Ed Daily.
0.0?
If I got one ride, I would be at 5, right?
Assuming you got a 5.
Oh, I'm sure I get 5s all the time.
I thought I did too. It had to be that one.
You're talking about Spence.
Yeah, I know Spence. Spence doesn't listen to the show, but some people that know Spence do, and they'll know that he does this. And you know, I'm not trying to out him. I expect
better of Spence, but then again, you guys all played "Come on a Cracker" in the shop in the kitchen in high school.
How dare you? I was never in a fraternity.
When you were in the home ec room, right. In school.
Yeah, but that was saliva, Ed. That was saliva, not ejaculate.
All right. And we'll give this story another year and then we'll get the truth.
It was an omelet. And Spence was not involved in that, but Chaz was.
Of course.
Chaz was involved in the omelet situation. Chaz is a real live
wire, but I'm sure Spence is too.
Now, Spence is disgusting. He's filthy.
Yep.
He's filthy, and he fucked my Uber rating.
We're going to get the truth out of this.
So now I'm 4.85. So my Uber rating is actually slightly better than our Apple Podcast rating, which is a 4.8. And I put it out there last week. But this is like Celebrity Jeopardy. Write down a number, any number. It could be a 4. It could be a 2. It could be 1,000. Any number. You just leave a rating. You leave a 5-star rating on the show, and I will autograph and ship to your home a delicious bottle of Moscato or whatever it is, bum wine that I'm regifting to you in exchange for your rating.
The first song we get, you're getting the shirt out of nowhere with no explanation.
You get the shirt, and it's like, look, the fucking Waterford crystal. Yeah, it was engraved to one good person and one horrible person, and it had a date on it.
In comic sense, right?
Yeah, pretty close.
It's a bold move to engrave in comic sans.
Yes, but it's very expensive crystal, Ed. Well,
the comic sans tends to devalue things.
It's It's probably a $300 set. I think we looked and I saw 150, but I think mine's a nicer level.
Let me just check.
The 151.
Crystal.
Yeah.
Engraved.
Waterfruit.
With Comic Sans. Value.
0.0?
Yeah. I mean, Comic Sans is a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna dock you a few hundred dollars on that.
What if we took them on? Do they still do Antiques Roadshow? What a show!
The big reveal, and they're like,
"Yeah,
was this carved in the mid 18th century?"
it's like everybody like finds this old like arts and crafts, hope chest at some antique store in Virginia, and they bring it on and they're like, if only you hadn't decoupaged the entire outside, it could be worth $400,000. But since you painted it and changed the hardware, it's actually completely valueless.
$45.
Fucked it up. Yeah. Just don't touch it. Don't touch anything old.
No.
Could use that. There's actually a couple. That's actually good advice in many different ways. Stay away from very old things because they were better before. The old things were better before you ruined them.
Right. Speaking of old things that were probably better before, a 74-year-old Florida golfer shoots man an ankle, beats him with his club for walking a dog along the course.
Well, was he standing his ground, Ed?
That's true. That's true. You're allowed to legally murder black people.
Yes. As long as you're standing your ground.
As long as you're standing your ground.
Now, why does somebody bring a piece to the course? You're worried you're going to.
And he's 74. Nobody's coming at him. Nobody's coming at him.
Yeah, no. He's an old man. And he's probably. He's probably got a push cart.
Public course?
Of course. That said, so he's
getting very territorial over his public course.
I have before seen on golf courses where I'll just be like setting out, I'll be on the fairway, middle of the fairway, getting ready to shoot my shot. And I'll look over and some guy will just like go jogging by or be like walking a dog. I'll be like, why would you pick this route? There's balls flying around.
But I would say that if it's somebody who lives nearby, well, there are balls that land in the yard of that person.
Yeah.
Golfers don't get shot and clubbed to death.
That's true.
Like my buddy lives near a course in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And there's, he'll do his weekly walk through the yard and just pick up a bunch of balls.
I bet he does.
And like, that's fair game, but you get assaulted if you get your dog too close to the course.
People are really precious. There's one course I've played a couple times, and right at the turn there's like a park bench and some dude will just come out of his house and he just lingers there, waits to strike up a conversation with you.
Lingerers are tough.
Yeah, because a lingerer, they usually have ulterior motives.
Oh, they always do.
Yeah, they're lingering for a reason. It's not an accident that they're lingering. They're lingering on purpose. They're purposeful lingerers. They sit there lingering, and you're like, oh, this guy's just lingering. But no, he's got an ulterior motive to his linger. And he's got a rag. And it's been soaked in some kind of inhalant. And if you get too close to him.
Now you're missing a kidney.
Yeah. You might wake up in a bathtub full of ice.
And what percentage of 74-year-old men are even nice?
Yeah. Just a lot of ass. You're so cantankerous when you get old. Also, but here's the thing. These days, 74, not that old.
No, my dad is going to be 74 in like a month. Yep. And he's not what I used to think a 74-year-old man would be. And he's not like grouchy old man, but a lot of them are. A lot,
yeah,
like,
no.
That's my kind of my goal as I get older is to like just try to like go with the flow a little more than your average old man. Because that's the thing.
Yeah,
old men don't like going with the flow. They get very angry.
Yeah. And this was in Florida. So what do we, you know, you never get the whole story. What if we find out later that this was some type of a dispute over ownership of an exotic reptile and or
a carburetor?
The primary currency of Florida residents, jet ski parts. Maybe he was like, hey,
maybe he got ripped off in a jet ski part deal.
Yeah. You owe me a turbo. You're supposed to give me a turbo in exchange for that bearded dragon, that rare bearded dragon I gave you. And what the fuck? You know, it's like it just happened to be on a golf course. So the golf course is getting the bad news. Also, this is in Delray Beach, which I swear to God is I thought that was like a made up place.
It's a spring training place, I think.
Oh, is it?
I've heard of Port training-ish.
It does. Yeah. I've heard of Port St. Lucie, of course.
Yeah.
I believe the Mets.
Yep.
Do their thing there. And this, of course, Vero Beach. And then wherever the Yankees are. I know about that. But I don't know. I thought Delray Beach was like the made up place that they were trying to sell you land in Glengarry Glen Ross.
It could be.
I didn't realize it was a real.
Those are the Glengarry leads.
Yeah. The good leads.
They all believe Delray is a real place.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's going to, he's got stand your ground on his side. So I don't think we're going to, he's got too much to worry about.
True. Yeah. Sideline argument led to two people getting shot at a Virginia middle school flag football game.
Yeah. Worth it.
Again, not sure why you needed to bring the gun.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's probably some playing time situation.
Yeah.
It's flag football. So basically you got like a couple plays. You got the play where you got have the two receivers cross in the middle of the field. And so the defenders get confused. That's right. That's when your plays, then you got the fake, like you're going to throw it and then have the QB just run the QB sneak. Like run them out on a bootleg.
They weren't allowed to do that. You could do the delayed handoff.
Oh, right.
But the quarterback, I don't think could go. But yeah, you're limited in your options there.
Not a lot of plays. I knew a guy that he was coaching flag football, and he had another guy that would coach flag football with him, and that guy didn't even have a kid on the team.
Oh no.
Yeah. And you know what they would do? Sometimes they would go and like, they would go to a Starbucks, sit down, just the two of them, and they'd scheme.
Wait, your friend?
I mean, someone I know. I don't want to say, you
know. But he's a dad. Close.
He's a dad, but his friend.
A rando?
With no skin
in the game?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and this guy would drive him. He'd pick up the first guy who had the kid, drive him on over there. And then they'd sit down at Starbucks and then get a latte or something. And then they'd scheme.
What?
And then
team name the Ember Alerts.
Right. Yeah. The Megan's Laws.
Yeah.
And then there was a different guy. They had three coaches. So this is flag football. There was a head coach and the offensive coordinator, and that's those two guys.
My God.
Then they had another guy, another dad, that was the defensive coordinator, and he would get pissed off because he didn't get invited to the Starbucks meetings to do the scheming.
Oh, no.
And the first two guys would be like, well, we're only scheming offense. You're doing defense. So you do your own, you could scheme solo. Come up with your own schemes. We're going to have our schemes over here. I wonder if they threw in some old Jaws, Ron Jaworski all 22 videos because Jaworski would, he'd break down the schemes for you. He'd tell you.
So I have coached in the past, and I really,
of course you have.
It's terrible flag football because you got to come up with shit all the time. Basketball, you can go over the general principles of pick and roll or, you know, a zone defense, a 3-2, 1-3-1, whatever it is, but you don't have to tell them every play, everything. You got to do this, you got to do that. Whereas flag football, you're constantly drawing up plays, which is hard for little boys.
Well, that's why you go scheme first.
I guess I should have gone to one of those scheming meetings. But what I determined at the level I was coaching was I would put my best athlete in the, maybe not in the backfield, like more in a wing back position. And I would give him the handoff.
Yep.
And it's a halfback pass if they rush in on him.
Yep.
And he can go if they don't. And so just running the halfback pass like 25 times a game. That was my go-to.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah. That's a good play.
Because you can have the quarterback go. So that was my way of saying, okay, well, then he's a running back.
We'll make the QB a running back. See?
Look at that. We just had a little scheme session.
They should have consulted with you on the schemes. So, I mean,
I wouldn't give my information to a guy without a kid, though.
No, that's a really good point. Could you imagine? like the guy that volunteers to coach, he's like, hey, they wouldn't let me take the Cub Scouts camping this weekend for some reason, but you guys need a coach? Because I'm here.
Yeah. We got a sad update on a story we just did.
I know.
Good old Bobo. Boris Becker has been jailed for 2.5 years in the pokey for hiding his assets from bankruptcy.
This is crazy. This is nuts. He declared bankruptcy, but first he squirreled away some cash with some family members and associates.
Yeah, I do think that jail is not the answer for lots of things, and the prison system's terrible. Yeah. But he did do some shady things.
He did. I think I saw that he took out a loan.
I've been screwed by people filing for bankruptcy. So I know
it sucks.
It can be really shitty for the people who are owed money by the bankrupt guy who's not really bankrupt. So kind of think he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, no, that sucks. Because he did, I think he borrowed like $1 million from some bank. And basically when you're Boris Becker, you just show up and just fucking, you know, shove your face on the bankers in the office and go, hey, I'm Boris Becker. I would like to borrow $1 million. And they're like, no problem. He knew he was going to declare bankruptcy. So he borrowed that $1 million knowing full well he wasn't going to pay it back. And then he tried to squirrel it away to his cronies. And then, you know, financial crimes, they're pretty good at finding the money. They know when you're hiding it.
Yep. I actually, one time, this is pre-Uber, I remember I was taking a cab from Miami Airport, and the driver was like, I just got out of jail from a financial crime situation, some shady chop shop.
Oh, no.
And he goes, you know what the best part is? I hid all my money inside the television, and they never found it when they searched my place. And he told me all smart. This, and I was like, that's probably a good move. They didn't take apart the television.
Yeah.
They might rip open the mattress.
Yep.
But he, like, took off the screen or whatever, and this is probably in the old days of the giant Sony Vega.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is one of those console TVs.
This is like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so he hid all his money in there. I was like, well, got to respect the hustle.
Oh, no, that was pretty smart.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that's a good move. There was some guys here in LA a while back that they heat style. Well, they staged it. Or more accurately, they Den of Thieves'd it to go with a better known heist movie.
Yeah.
They Den of Thieves to an armor car.
Did one of the guys mouth everyone's lines while he like watched?
Yeah. They Den of Thieves it, and they got caught, and but they didn't recover the money. And I remember, I think the guy, because it was an inside job, so technically not a Den of Thieves situation, but it was an inside job. So the guy, they knew he did it, and he got like 10 years. And they thought, and they're like, we know he's buried it on the property, and there was like some new cement. And they would go back, they would try to surprise him and like look for the money, but they could never find it. They could never, and maybe he's out by now. We should look that up. Well, it's a little too hard right now, but I'll look it up. And next time we talk about armored cars, I'll have it.
Trying to look it up. I didn't see it.
I'll have this information because I'm probably pretty far off, if I'm being honest. Did you know that our hero, Gerard Butler, Jerry Butler?
Jerry Butt, yeah.
Scottish superstar.
Yeah, almost a barrister turned actor.
You know, that's right. He was going to be a lawyer. And then he's like, I'm too fucking beautiful for the law.
Yeah, you know what? I'm doing pretty well with women, but I want to get all the women.
Yeah. I read a blind item about him one time. I think I mentioned on the show before, he was shooting some movie and it was like a location shoot.
Yeah.
And probably like Belgrade or something. And every female on the set and every female working on the movie got a turn with Gerard Butler, the co-star, the makeup artist, the costume lady.
I'm sure he's a good lover.
I guess what I was going to say is I just read recently, despite his constant puffiness, my man has been sober for like 25 years. What? Yes.
I thought for sure that's what was going on lately.
I know. Gerard Butler. Wait, hold on. I'm going to type sober after that. Gerard Butler. Sober. Let's see what it says here. Something's up with my mic. Okay, here. Oh, I forgot to put a space. Here we go. Gerard Butler sober. Gerard has been sober for over two decades. 40 celebrities who have been open about their sobriety. This is from Men's Health. He's right there. Oh, they've really done a thing on his. They've really photoshopped his picture. Den of Thieves premiere, great movie. Gerard Butler spoke to Men's Health in 2012 about being 15 years sober then. He went to rehab before he could reach full blow. Oh, yeah. He got on pills after a while, but he had to, like, do a little maintenance. When you hear the word rehab, you think he's messed up, but I'm glad I did it. I've made a shitload of wrong decisions in my life, but I know I've made some right ones as well. Sober. Tobey Maguire, also sober. We knew that.
Sia. I can't say I did know that.
You didn't know that about Tobey Maguire? Oh, yeah, he's sober, but
he's a gambler, right?
He's a big-time poker player, and he's a huge dick. I would never recommend, under any circumstances, that anyone ever have the misfortune to encounter the Aaron Sorkin penned, or anything by Aaron Sorkin. You shouldn't watch, but... The Aaron Sorkin penned and directed Molly's Game.
Yeah, I saw that on a plane, I think.
Horrible.
Yeah, and it was...
The narration.
It was just... It's that whole Sorkin, like, people don't talk that way. So it's disconcerting when somebody's got soliloquies every time they open their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, and in his movies, it's usually... There's usually a white guy savior.
Yeah.
Give you a long speech.
Although Molly, that it was based off of the real Molly, her brother was the punt returner / Olympic skier, right?
Jeremy Bloom. He had to quit. This is before name, image, likeness.
Yep.
He had to quit the team because he was making money as a ski jumper.
As a punt returner, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. He could play. He, that's, it's a horrible movie, but it's all about poker, and it's like the real players at the game were like Tobey Maguire, Ben Affleck. And so they, the characters in the movies that, you know, are playing at the game are real fucking douchebags. And I don't remember that well, but one of them is supposedly modeled after Tobey Maguire. You can read about it. I wouldn't suggest watching the movie. Sia, Australian singer, someone I like. I'm a fan of Sia.
I like her too, but I think a lot of her songs are about like struggles with addiction.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I was. Yep, she's sober. Okay, hold on. Russell Brand, we knew that. Ewan McGregor.
We know too. Whoa,
sober since 2001.
I know Bateman's sober because he talks about it a lot on that podcast.
Yep, he's sober. Naomi Campbell, she needed to get sober. Yeah. Oh, also Colin Farrell.
Yes. Famously.
He's a pretty good actor.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah. He was not sober when he did that sex tape with that Playboy Playmate. And it's, you know, this is where kind of who were we talking about before? Shaq? Or no, we're talking about Andre the Giant. We're talking about Andre the Giant and how he's so big that if we saw his dick, it would be kind of hard to get a sense of like how dicked up he is because everything on him is so big. Yeah, so he would need to like hold a wine bottle next to it or something so we could see. Similarly, I recall watching the Colin Farrell sex tape, and Colin Farrell is packing. He's well put together. But again, he's a diminutive dude. He's probably like 5'6", 5'7". And he's got a fat Irish hog.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Tim McGraw. Sober.
Congratulations on anyone who needs to get sober, got sober and everything like that. But are we just listing every person who's ever been sober?
No, I'm reading the list here.
Is there a definitive list?
Yeah, this is the Jerry Butler thing. 40 celebrities you didn't know were sober. Matthew Perry, I think he's kind of on and off. Demi Lovato, we know about her. Hold on. We'll just see if there's any surprises and then we can move on. Oh, Tom Hardy. We knew he was sober.
We did?
He used to be a crackhead.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And imagine, he's got those beautiful lips. Imagine if he had ruined those lips on the pipe. Because sometimes, you know, that pipe gets hot, but they love the crack so much that they don't even notice. They just keep sucking on that pipe and they burn their lips. Oh, Kelly Osbourne, who cares? John Goodman. There's lots of stories. John Goodman was one of those drunks that was just like straight beer. So he would just
get a suitcase of Coors Light or whatever.
Yep. And just drink fucking straight beer all day. Dax Shepard is one of those people that I'm annoyed that I know who that is.
He seems like he's nice enough, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not really. I just don't. Yeah. Stephen Moyer. I don't know who that is. Hold on. Amanda Bynes. Oh, that might be California sober. John Mayer. John Mayer's probably. John Mayer was like, you know what? This scotch is affecting my ability to sex starlets. He's like, I probably could have sexed at least 5 more starlets last month if I had just quit drinking scotch every night. And he just realized what he loved more was boning ingenues. So he quit. Dennis Quaid, cocaine. Wow. Hold on. You're not getting bored. Charlie Sheen. Yeah, that was a crazy one. Charlie Sheen got sober. Zac Efron. Who cares? Zac Efron got sober and then got a new face. Have you seen Zac Efron lately?
No.
He got his face rebuilt. Have you ever, you know that, that one meme that it's like, it's like you're a Chad or whatever. It's like supposed to be like the most handsome man. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. There's probably a name for it. Anyway, he got his face built to look like that one meme. Jamie Lee Curtis, sober.
Oh, I did hear about her talking about being sober.
Josh Brolin, I think somebody I know might have go to secret meetings and they've seen Josh Brolin there before. Okay. Rob Delaney. We knew that. Steven Tyler. I have my doubts about that. My doubts about that, buddy. He's maybe off and on. Okay. That's it, Ed. Let's do, let's talk. Let's do some voicemails, emails, that kind of stuff. Wait. Wrong song. We have so many songs now. We have so many songs now that I have two banks, and I have to toggle between the banks.
You might want to do some editing on that one.
Here is the. It's weird what I meant to play.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish.
He's also worse than first, let's see who we heard from this week. First voice mail.
Scoop it up.
Yeah.
Yo, guys, Matty V in LA here. It's been a while. I got a few things. Good news, now that masks are lifted, we can eat in the grocery store again. Called in about this, you know, maybe a year ago. So it's nice to take my beef fried chicken, go around the store.
No, stop it.
Snack while
stop
I shop.
It.
And second, yeah, I know that fantasy football isn't a big thing for you guys. It's actually a negative thing. But do you know that your advertiser is a fantasy football app? So I'm kind of confused on where the opinions lie here. Anyway, love you. I mean it. Scoop it up.
Love you, buddy. The question. Well, or not a question.
Did he say he's eating in grocery stores?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He called in before, Ed, because we talked about our friend of the show, Travis Rogers, who will walk. He'll either eat packages of, I can't remember, like the cheap, real shitty Budig. I can never remember the name of that. He eats Budig where the roast beef is gray. He'll eat like couple packages of Budig and then just fling them at the cashier when he goes to leave and be like, hey, add 10 cents twice because I ate two packages of this. And or even worse, he'll get a fucking bagel from the bakery and just walk around eating a dry ass untoasted bagel with no cream cheese, no butter. No lox, nothing.
Disturbing.
Just walks around and then gets to the front and with none of the requisite shame that should be involved, tells the cashier, yeah, by the way, I had a jalapeno bagel. Throw that on the bill. I mean, the right thing to do is just steal it, right? Just eat it and just not say anything.
But is there anything sadder than being like, hey, sir, you're coming with us. We have you on security cam eating a jalapeno bagel.
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, though. Look, I don't, these guys, if you're eating fried chicken, if you go get an 8-piece from the deli and you just crunch a thigh while you're walking around.
I'm giving you a hands, wide berth.
Yeah, your hands get all greasy. You're touching everything with those greasy ass hands. Yeah.
I'm not going
anywhere
near you.
A couple paper towels? Yeah, a wipe. Like that. That's one thing. That's, you know, that's a bridge too far for me. Obviously, the bagel thing, the Budig. I mean, imagine the gastrointestinal effects of that. You're at the grocery. We talked about this earlier.
So slippery, like that. Yeah. That kind of stuff. And the expiration date is like 9 months from now.
Yes, I know. You're like, how is this meat? It never goes bad. But I do admit this. when I'm shopping for produce, I like to sample, like, see what if the grapes are good. So I'll just pull off a grape, give a little taste. And once, you know, when everyone was afraid that their pizza boxes were going to bring the Black Death to their house, they, people really frowned on you when you pulled down your bandana to pop a grape in your mouth. So I kind of stopped doing that. Now that things are more open, I'm back to doing it. And I've taken it a step further. I sample, because my grocery store has like 7 or 8 different kinds of mini tomatoes. I go through, I try one of every kind, see which are the freshest and the best. Have a little.
That seems sample. Like a bit much.
They let you do that. It's allowed. I'm pretty sure no one's ever told me not to.
Sounds so like just, you live in Thunderdome. I mean, no, there's got to be rules.
I don't know. No one's ever told me. So I'll pop a cherry tomato. I'll go, oh, these are pretty good. And I'll get a bag of them, bring them on home. So I, you know, like, look, that, but that's just being a good consumer. Like what these guys are doing is fucking animalistic and disgusting. Oh, that's the other thing he mentioned. He said he heard a fantasy football ad on our show. I think the ads are tailored to your location.
I think they're different all over. Yeah, because I've gotten
you get local ads.
I've gotten some local stuff.
Yeah, I get like there's like local like car repair businesses that I hear on the ads. Now, these one thing I will say about Matty V. He's a huge piece of shit because he's not a Red Circle subscriber. You're telling me what commercials you hear. That means you're not giving us $5 a month so you get all the bonus content. Because if you're a Red Circle subscriber, you know what commercials you hear? None. Not one. Zero. You've never heard a commercial because you're listening on Red Circle. I'm not a Red Circle subscriber, so I hear the commercials if I listen. And I've never heard a fantasy football commercial on this show, but that's probably tailored to you. There's probably some kind of algo that knows if you're into weird shit like fantasy football, and that's why you're getting that commercial.
I don't frown upon it. I'm not big in it, but I don't frown upon it. Like,
yeah, whatever. Okay, here's another one.
Yo B, yo Ed, Darbo.
Darbo.
He's become call a back regular.
And tell, yeah, Darbo, call back and tell us why white guys, middle-aged white guys like you like to jerk it to the Masters over every other golf tournament. Like, why is it so much better? Because they paint the grass?
Because when I used to play like the video game golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's Tiger Woods. Lots of great. There are lots of like Pebble Beach and the Sawgrass with the
TPC
the
Sawgrass.
Like there's all kinds of good courses. Great courses. Why the Masters?
Great courses. Yep. No, I don't know. They love it. It's the history. The history.
Have you two fellas seen the Savannah Banana baseball team? They're like the Globetrotters of baseball. I went onto their website to see if they were coming to Southern California.
Are
if
they?
I could buy tickets to the game. They're not. Ugh. And you can't buy tickets. So they're sold out.
Yeah.
They have their own rules on this baseball team. Mm-hmm. Like if you hit a foul ball and a, you know, person in the stands catches it, you're out.
I love that.
They have a player that pitches and hits. He's like, I guess they're the National League of Globetrotter baseball or Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he pitches and he's on stilts and then he hits on stilts as well.
Yeah.
And in the video, when he's running to first base, it looks like he's wearing stiletto heels.
It might be hard.
So here's my question.
Yeah. Okay.
You're given 2 free tickets.
Oh yeah.
Best seats in the ballpark right behind home plate. Not home plate. I don't want the net right behind the, home team dugout.
Yep.
Right in front, so you can put your beers and drinks and feet up right on the on the dugout. You going with the Savannah Banana baseball team?
Yeah.
Or, and I know how much Brian Beckner hates the Angels.
Yeah.
And they are off to kind of a good start.
Mm-hmm.
You going to see a little Angel baseball?
No.
Take your answer off air.
No. That's. I mean, Angel Stadium's such bullshit. It's. Ed.
It's right by Disneyland, right?
It's right by Disneyland. And they do. Here's the thing they do, Ed. When it's if it gets to like the 7th inning.
The rally monkeys? You know,
yes. It's like 3-2.
Do they still do that?
I don't know. They play on the big screen. This I think it's the monkey from Friends. Didn't Ross have a monkey?
Oh yeah, that monkey. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a video of some. It's probably a refugee from the fucking Revlon factory that's been eaten. That's been eating lipstick for 5 years, and so he's all fucked up in his tiny little brain, and he jumps up and down. First of all, monkeys are disgusting. They're disgusting. Yeah, they're mean.
They are gross.
Yeah, and it jumps up and down, and all these idiots, Ed, they bring their own. They have like stuffed monkeys. They're not called the Anaheim Monkeys. It's the Angels. But somehow they have a monkey thing and they think it's cool. And they don't know that it's not cool. And that's a problem. They celebrate with a monkey. Also, they have Monster Energy on draft. In case
that's not a thing.
I've seen it there. And it's in case you want to do a date rape later, you're all ready. You know, you can get fueled up.
Extreme kayaking later.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, it's a horrendous place. Now, if they're playing the Dodgers, and of course, the toughest ticket for those losers, because they don't sell out like the Dodgers do every night. The toughest ticket for them is when the Dodgers come to play, which I think is like next week. And so I would go when they're playing the Dodgers because it's mostly Dodger fans when you go, much like San Diego. When they're playing the Dodgers.
Oh,
so
no, you should go to San Diego versus any team. That's a great stadium.
Great ballpark, yeah. So, but honestly, like, this Savannah Banana thing sounds kind of cool, right? Right, Ed? It's like a cool show. Yeah. Oh, really? going contrarian.
I was on board when he was talking about, like, the foul ball stuff. Yeah. But when he talked about stilts, that kind of sounds like the circus to me.
I am not down
with the circus. I don't want to see people in stilts. To me, that's very clownish, circus stuff. We can't.
Yeah, they also, I've seen a guy go to the plate with his bat on fire.
That I literally. Like. I'm talking about stilts. Yeah. Specifically stilts. It's just creeping me out.
Well, I mean, there's. It is kind of a smart thing because, you know, when you're pitching, you're used to throwing the ball down for the strike zone. Because if the strike zone's the knees to the letters, like now you got to and he's on stilts, you got to throw. You know, this is like when the Cleveland Indians sent that little midge up there to bat that one time.
I absolutely love minor league baseball though, so I'm down with all the and they have like you know. Every Friday night, they wear completely different uniforms. I have a great Orioles Sunday night hat. It's like their AAA, and it's Spanish night, and it's a very cool looking hat that says Suerte on it. It's pretty sweet. So I am definitely down with all of the minor league stuff, except for stilts. Because the next thing you're going to say is there's a clown juggling. I know that's where it's going next.
I don't know. This is a road trip situation. They're not exactly barnstorming. This, you know, the
Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, the cities that they're playing in are, you know, kind of where you're expecting to see them. I mean, they do travel outside of Savannah, but to places like Macon and Lexington, and Asheboro. Let's see where
this has got to be independent league type stuff because
I think
no guy making the major leagues wants to be raising his average with a bat on fire.
So I think it's like a Globetrotters thing where they play the same two teams play every night. It's the Savannah Bananas and they, you know,
whoever the other team is. Generals.
Yeah. Washington Generals. At Macon. Well, no, hold on. They are playing other teams. The Florence Flamingos. The Lexington County Blowfish sold out, by the way. The Macon Bacon. How are we not into that? You're into that, Ed. The Macon Bacon?
That sounds great.
It's a great name. The Wilmington Sharks. So they do say, but it's, you know, it's probably not, it's not like a competitive league, I would say. Because, you know, if a fan catches a foul ball, they should really bring that in the major leagues. Speaking of baseball, I caught a game this weekend at Blue Heaven on Earth with my dear friend, Jason Stewart.
Oh.
Friend of the show. He was kind enough to offer me a couple extra tickets. I took my son and I. met him and his girlfriend there at the game. And of course, Jason was saying they were playing the Tigers. And some guy was wearing a Miguel Cabrera jersey. And Jason told my son, he's like, "Hey, go tell him that Cabrera is Spanish for sucks at baseball." And then because Jason's so, you know, he's so dry, like everybody's not kind of, you know, you kind of got to like be ready for him. And then he's like, "All right, we got to go take our picture, right?" Because I've seen him, you know, we've rallied at games before. And apparently one time we took a picture. So we're in the loge and he's like, "Okay, let's take a picture." And he made me like go down to the railing.
To make it seem like you have better seats?
Well, just no, to like, get the field in the background. Okay. But the problem is it was like the sixth inning, like everyone was in their seats and it was so embarrassing. Yeah. And we had to take pictures with his Android phone. It was, you know, it was fun. I had my son drives, so I had a couple beers.
Oh, that's nice.
He drove me home. Yeah. It's always fun to go to a Dodger game, but, you know, it's not everybody's ready for the, he's ready for the Jason experience.
Hat I have. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That is sweet.
Right?
Yeah, I love it.
Minor league baseball is the best.
It's great. Okay, here's another one.
Hey, Baller, Ed, Brian, Baller Nation. I hope you can hear me okay. This is Stu. And I just came up here to Bellevue Motorsports. You know, I bought that motorcycle and I had some new tires put on it. They say that you can't buy happiness, but you can buy a motorcycle, and that's pretty fucking close. Love you guys.
That's awesome. I don't think anybody's ever called us from a motorcycle before.
No, but I prefer he's a little bit safer. We don't want somebody falling while they're doing it.
Well, what do we know about Stu now? He quit smoking weed, as he told us last week. So he's alert.
Sober.
Yeah. He's alert out there on the road. No phone calls, just to be safe. Okay, let's do... Ed. We have some listener that's been emailing me every week, and it's the same joke, and it's the same unfunny joke every week, and I never read it, but somehow it's gotten to the to the point where I'm laughing because it's not funny. The joke is so dumb, but it's funny that he keeps trying it, and he's like, "Hey, Daily's Choice, Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner." And then I just don't read it. And then the next week it's like, "Hey, Scoop It Up, Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner." And it's just the same. He thinks like he's going to keep reworking it. He knows that it's dumb and he knows I think it's dumb. And he keeps sending it to me every week and I'm never going to read it. But it's kind of funny that he keeps sending it. So whoever that guy is, thanks for doing that. Okay, here's another one. Ballers, what the fuck is up, my guys? I have a how fucking old is this guy, a how fucking rich is this guy, and a Daily's Choice for y'all. First up, how fucking old and how fucking rich is the godfather of punk, Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop.
What's his age? I can't explain. He was young back when he did that thing. Still alive, and I don't know why.
Wow.
Is this fucking guy?
Ed, I happen to know how old Iggy Pop is because he's maybe my all-time favorite musician, and his birthday was like last week.
And a good interview. He's a good interview.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He'll tell you what's on his mind. He's not like playing to the crowd. He's just a real person that's very comfortable in his,
like, an intelligent guy. Skin. Like, he's not.
Yes.
You know, you look at him and you think this guy's like a lunatic, but he's not. Yeah. He's like, yeah, a smart, thoughtful guy, although he, yeah, is a wild man at the same time.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think I'm going to be pretty close because I think he's close to my dad's age. I'm going to say 75.
Yeah, I think he just turned. Let's see here. Iggy Pop, James Newell Osterberg. Let's see. I think he just turned 75 like a couple weeks ago. Let me see here. Yeah, 1947, April 21st, 1947. Age 75, currently on tour. He's the best. I would recommend that anybody check out the Jim Jarmusch documentary about Iggy and the Stooges. I can't remember. I think, it's called Gimme Danger. It's available on Amazon.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. He is fantastic. He's one of just the last real things. He's 75. He's fucking kicking ass. He's awesome. I love him so much. How rich is he? That's a good question too. Ed, let's find out.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed, I'm going to search it. You take a guess. This could be all over the map. I mean, who knows? He didn't.
I think
he's not known for his commercial success. That's for sure.
I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think he's had a great deal of commercial success.
Yeah.
And so he's been in the game forever. And some of his music has been licensed for some stuff. That's for sure. So I'm going to say it's not nearly as much as you think, but maybe 25, 20.
Ed. Right on the money. Iggy Pop, American singer, songwriter, and actor. Net worth of roughly $20 million. He's got a good life. He lives in Miami. He's got a young, I believe, Latina wife, does his music. He's very, he lives a calm existence. He's fucking awesome. Okay. There's more of this email. The song plays forever. Where was I? And Ed. Oh, wait. First up, how fucking old and how fucking rich is the Godfather Punk? Iggy Pop. This fucking guy has looked exact fucking same since 1979. He's going to outlive Keith fucking Richards, for fuck's sake. And Ed, here's one for you. You're taking in a game at Camden Yards to watch your shitty Orioles. You had to do that. Get curb stomped. So graphic. The violent imagery by the Astros. Oh, come on. After 5 Michelob Ultras. Oh, damning. Everyone knows Ed doesn't drink Michelob Ultra. You make your way to the urinal only to find yourself flanked by none other than Iggy Pop and once in a lifetime specimen, Mike Tyson. Who's got to be hung like an alpha woolly fucking mammoth? Also, it absolutely blows my mind how y'all managed to get Johnny Depp to take time out of his insanely busy life to come on the pod just to chop it up with us peasants. It's too bad Ed has to dip out every time Johnny calls in. Love you guys. David in Houston. Hashtag ballerino for life. Hashtag fuck Manuel and Gardenia.
Whoa.
Hashtag fuck Telly Tuput. Hashtag team Dolomite. Hashtag current episode, hashtag red circle, hashtag Friday facts. Yeah.
So back to the
well, hold on, we'll choice. Get
a song. Oh, okay.
Davey's choice. It's a choice I make. Davey's choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
I mean, I believe we discussed Mike Tyson last week. Like, it's be tough to top Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I was going to say, we both talked about our love of Iggy Pop, but
he's great. Yeah.
But no, I'm much more curious with what Mike's working with.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He's just gotta have one of the fattest dicks. And he's, you know, if you see him at the urinal, you're gonna want to try to find that out. Okay, thanks. Thanks for everybody that reached out. Some good voicemails and emails this week. Let's do some not sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non
sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports, non-sports, non-sports segment.
Oh. Ed, what is happening in this realm of things that are not actually sports?
Two RIPs this week.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more. You won't smile no more.
I like how he takes a beat in between.
You won't laugh no more.
And then he catches up.
Yeah. No more.
So dearly departed,
we hope you rest in
peace. Sadly,
yeah,
RIP'd Naomi Judd, and it came out it was suicide.
I know.
76 years old.
I heard she died very suddenly, and they were going to get inducted into the Kentucky Music Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah. The Country Music Hall of Fame 2 days later.
Yeah. Very sad. A tremendous success story. She was a nurse, I think. And, you know, they came up singing in church and stuff. And she was a single mom working as a nurse. And her daughter, Winona, was, you know, talented singer and guitar player. And they had this act together. And she just fucking went and hit up all the record companies, played in their... Got meetings, you know, played in their offices until they got a record deal.
It's crazy. Hugely successful. Yeah, very sad. But yeah, it's
very
just,
sad.
I don't know. I don't know why it's so much sadder, but
it is.
Just like you'd like to think at 76 that,
yeah,
you know, the demons wouldn't, you know, yep, still haunt you like that.
Yeah.
Just really sad.
Yeah, it absolutely is. RIP.
Also, RIP Joanna Barnes. She was the main woman in Spartacus, and she was the other woman in Parent Trap. She was the one that their kids were trying to like trap against. I remember seeing that as a kid.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. RIP. Oh, she's 89. An attractive lady. Yeah.
She was attractive.
Good run.
89.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess a third RIP.
Oh.
Texas snake handler died. Ooh. After a rattlesnake bit him at a rattlesnake show. He died doing what he loved, a friend said.
Yeah. Just being bitten by snakes?
I don't think that's the goal.
This wasn't the Pentecostal. This wasn't a religious ceremony, right? Like,
it was called a rattlesnake show.
What's like, that?
Do you think
rattlesnakes?
Hey, behold. I mean...
Yeah.
He was a custodian. I mean, you see a picture of him holding.
Yeah.
What? Snake.
I think maybe like, why? Oh, yeah, I see him. He's holding. Like, why you hold? What? Do the snakes want to be held? Hey, fam. There's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Talking loud, covers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.